The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericaempowerment.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Do you ever feel stuck on a hamster wheel, constantly running but getting nowhere? The secret is actually quite simple. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. It's time to get unstuck, reclaim your personal power, and recapture your zest for living. Now, here's your host, Deborah Jane Wells.
Hi there, this is Deborah Jane Wells, life coach and Reiki master. Thanks for tuning into our show. Today's theme is your personal emotional trainers. I am pleased to welcome back my dear friend and our guest from last week, Sandy Ausman, a light worker and energy healer for over 16 years, as a certified arch master healer, ordained minister, Reiki master, and animal communicator. Sandy Ausman incorporates reconnective healing, the Yuan method, spirit channeling, and EFT into her vibrational medicine. A 1996 near-death experience initiated Sandy's own dynamic spiritual journey and training. Through her work as an animal communicator, Sandy supports the healing and growth of all beings and our planet.
Hi, everybody. It's so nice to be back today.
And it's great to have you, Sandy. Each week, we explore the transformative power of loving yourself unconditionally and how choosing to fuel yourself with constructive core energy based in love, respect, curiosity, compassion, and gratitude, transforms your life from victim to victory, from breakdown to breakthrough. Sandy, in planning today's show, I mentioned to you that over time I developed a sensitivity to calling our four-legged friends pets. It's why I try always to refer to them as animal companions. With my three coaching cats, Sitta, Mortimer, and Maisie managing my life, if anyone's the pet in my household, it's me. In response, you shared a definition of pet that was both hilarious and insightful and set in motion the focus of this episode.
Yeah, Deborah, pets can stand for personal emotional trainers. And personal emotional trainers can be both humans and animals. When you think of a human personal emotional trainer, you think of the people who push your buttons, cause you distress, you know, the arguments, the anger, etc. And really what they're doing is giving you the opportunity for growth, to learn to grow beyond that and get back to simple love and to lighten up and let go of little things and look at the big picture. And you have called relationships the doctoral program of personal growth. So, you know, that's right along there with personal emotional trainers. But I've found that animals, as personal emotional trainers, they come into our lives in a different way, a softer way. Their innocence and their complete unconditional love is such a gift. And when I've done readings on the animals, they tell me things like a dog who said, "I'm here as his heart protector." Or this sweet cat, you know, about his owner, he said, you know, he said, "I came to support her as I knew there'd be much heartache in this lifetime, and I stayed close to remind her she was not alone." And then there's a horse who said that, you know, I came to help her step into her own power. So they're really powerful, giving, loving trainers, and they're completely selfless in their mission. And it's really humbling how giving the animals are. It's never about them. It's always about their people. And they teach us in the most profound ways, some through their actions, if we'll pay attention to them. So listen to this cat named Cleo. And the first thing she says to me is, "Can't you see my Egyptian royalty?" I've come here to remind these people that they are royal and refined beings who are entitled to all the beauty the world has to offer. Everybody gets so bogged down in their work and dramas and little life problems. I ask them to watch me. I never forget who I am. Watch how I know I'm entitled to all the good and beauty in the world. Watch how I treat myself with such honor, which means I'm really honoring my Creator. Watch how I demand respect and never waver from that space. Watch how I give 100% attention to my self-care. Watch how I love myself no matter what is going on around me or what is going on in other people's lives. Watch how I observe the world but don't get bogged down in it. Watch how I know deep inside my being that I am worthy and beautiful and loved beyond measure at all times. I am here to teach you to treat yourselves the same way. Not from an ego point of view, no. From a knowingness that you are divine beings, aspects of God, true spiritual warriors, beings of light, regal, entitled, full of pure love, able to make a huge difference in the world just by being and remembering who you truly are and coming from that space. I love this family deeply. They are learning and growing. It is my honor to live with them and teach by example. And then she says, if you would all just relax and flow into your lives more, you'd see how truly simple and beautiful it all is, like me. And then she smiles and has a little like tee-hee, and they, you know, and giggles at that little comment about, you know, it's all beautiful, like me. So now that's a personal emotional trainer, isn't it? I mean, and some of you out there, you think you just have a cute pet. They are magnificent. There's so much more to it always. It always goes deeper of what they are here for.
You know, that reading is amazing. And as Sandy and I were preparing for the show, of course, she's doing this work all the time. And so she had come across this in this channel, this message that she channeled. And we'll talk in a minute to demystify channeling a bit. But, you know, she came across it like yesterday. So there's no time to read it to me or anything. She just said, trust me, I got something yesterday. It's like perfect. It's like this cat was reading your stuff and writing her own thing. So, it's intriguing. I have always loved animals from probably the moment I came out of the birth canal. And, it's only in recent years that I've had the opportunity to know and work with some extraordinary animal communicators, one of whom is Sandy. And these messages, they're all the same. And oh, by the way, for those of you who are skeptical, you know, I went into my first animal communication relationship open but skeptical. So I didn't tell her anything but my cat's three names. That was it. The cat's names for names for the three cats. And then I'm telling you, she came out with stuff. She didn't know anyone else. You know, she wasn't friends with someone else I was friends with. My husband was off in Washington, D.C. for 3 years. There was no one else who could have told her anything. This woman reported back to me details about my life that she couldn't know unless someone was telling her or she was living with me. And clearly, she was communicating with my cats. So let's talk a little bit about this idea of channeling, because, you know, there are many different modalities for this work, whether it's life coaching, acupuncture, Reiki, therapeutic massage, therapy, counseling, animal communication, whatever. There are many, many ways to do this work in the world, but it's the same core intent, which is basically releasing fear and embracing the love that's already there in abundant supply underneath.
Absolutely. And trust with channeling. How I even got started in it, you know, so 16 years ago when I first started the path after the near-death experience, I found a woman. Now, keep in mind, she was 72 years old at that time. 16 years ago, she had just started channeling when she was 60. She channeled a beautiful Indian guide named Little Fawn. And so I went to her for a reading, little house over in Aurora, and this beautiful older woman. And I asked her, how did you get started? How do you do this? You know, I would like to, I would really like to do this. And she said, Sandy, I went to a church, obviously a New Age church back then, and the pastor had a class in the basement on channeling. And he gave us a pad of paper. He gave us each a pen. He said, hold the pen over the paper, and then I want you to ask a question. Now, you can ask a question of yourself. I mean, your higher self is certainly a wonderful guide. You can ask a question to God, to the universe, to the angels, but ask a question. And then just start writing. Just start writing. Don't question, don't analyze, don't think this is not real, you know, just start writing. And she said, at first I wasn't getting anything. And he said, Pat, trust. Put the paper and the pen together and trust. And so that was her beginning. And, you know, here then years later, she was, you know, doing reading appointments for people. So I began that way. And it's really amazing. You have to just let it flow. As time went on, and any craft, any gift, any talent, anything in your life, you have to do some work at it. You have to practice and try. And certainly in the spiritual realm, we have to practice everything, all of the learning, all of the healing modalities we've learned, everything we have to practice. And so I started by doing that, and oh my heavens. At the end, you go back and read, and I'm a printer in life, but to get the information as fast as it's coming, you know, I'm cursive writing at the end. Sometimes the writing isn't even my own writing. I'm like going, you know, this doesn't even look like my writing. And you read back and you go, okay, I don't even speak like that. I've never used that word in my life. Yeah. That term is not from me. And so.
Sandy. I want to mention one thing here. So what I love about your description, and we had talked about this, is that I know this from knowing you, is that I wanted people, I think, have this misperception of channeling as this sort of hokey, seance-y, woo-woo, candle, you know, thing. And the reality is, it's as natural as breathing.
Absolutely.
What I hear in your description reminds me very much when I talk about doing written meditation, that's what's happening for me in that experience. It's not some out of body, you know, otherworldly sort of a thing. It is me posing questions about things in my life, reading inspirational pieces, and then, you know, with pen and paper there, seeing what comes up for me. And I get amazing insights.
Absolutely. So you're channeling. If you're channeling yourself, your own inner guidance, how wonderful is that? It's a way to bring it out, because in this busy world, our mind is going 1,000 miles an hour all the time. This makes you stop and allow the information to come in. And so over time, I really need to go back and read them all, because I've gotten some really beautiful messages for help in my own life. I have actually gotten in trouble with a guide who came to me and said, don't you understand? We're not only bringing through information for you. There's information we need others to understand and hear too. You're not channeling enough. You need to touch with us more often. And it's kind of like, am I done here? Is my work done here? Like, right. After she chewed me out. And, so yeah, and that really is the way that I even got into animal communicating, because then I went, I wonder if I could do this with animals. And dear friends said, well, practice on my dog, you know? Mm. And so, yeah, channeling, you guys try it. It's so much fun. It's so rewarding. It's something that, you know, start small, ask any little question, and you will be amazed at what you can bring to your life.
And what I would encourage people to do is, we don't think it up. You know, that's what people think, is that we sit there and we think it up. So it's not that you sit there and you try to figure out what your cat's saying or figure out what your dog might be saying. You, in the way that Sandy so beautifully described, you know, sort of what I call center yourself. You just sort of center yourself in this calm and quiet place, wide open, no judging, you know, no negativity. And then whatever comes, what we tend to do, our intuition tries to talk to us all the time. It is our deepest form of wisdom. But in our very left brain society, you know, we're taught that logic and reason always overrule intuition. And so we tend to dismiss the hits that we get because we say they don't make any sense. And the key with this is to not get hung up on that whole, I'm going to go use logic, which is like using the kindergarten education to assess something that's a much higher form of, I mean, it's lovely and it's wonderful and it's useful. I'm not dismissing it, but
right.
You'd never use logic to tell you whether your intuition is right. You might do the opposite. So that's where with this, just let it come through. And I'll have clients who'll say to me, well, that doesn't make any sense. I said, Don't start judging it right away. Just tell me what the hit is that you get on this situation. And then, of course, it does end up making sense in addition to being the highest wisdom in the situation.
Absolutely. And things not making sense, this is the thing I've learned about spirit. You just have to trust because they see the huge picture, things that we can't see, you know, down the road, to the sides of us, everything. You've got to trust. And I went on a wild ride where I closed my eyes at night. And this was just, you know, a couple years ago, year and a half ago, closed my eyes at night. And all these horses came to me. As far as I could see were horses. And opened my eyes back up like going, whoa, what was that? Closed my eyes again. There they are. They weren't going anywhere. All these horses were coming to me. Horses everywhere. And in my life, the horse energy came so strong. Now, keep in mind, I had never been around horses before. The horse energy was so strong that I couldn't stop thinking about them. I had to be with them. I had to see them. My dear friend and I would go on journeys on the weekend and just drive up to Longmont to go visit the Shires, drive out east and go, you know, look at the Percherons. I had carrots in my car in case I was driving along and there was a pasture.
She's a movable feast, ladies and gentlemen.
And there was a horse I had to stop and say hi. And I had no idea what that was all about. What in the world do you have in mind for me, Spirit? I thought maybe I was supposed to do, you know, healing work with horses, like therapy for people with horses or something. I had no idea. But this is where you have to pay attention to what Spirit's bringing you. You notice when it keeps coming over and over again. You don't doubt. You don't analyze. And then, as you say, Deborah, you get curious about the opportunities. What's going on here?
Yeah. Well, and so we're going to, in our next episode, while you guys are all getting curious about where Sandy's journey led her next, we're going to take a short break, and then we'll be back in 2 minutes.
Find out what makes the most successful people tick. Keep listening to the Voice America Empowerment Channel. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at DJWLifeCoach.com and click on the Current Offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on DJWLifeCoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work in reducing premature births. Almost 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and life-saving programs to help moms in our communities have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us during Prematurity Awareness Month in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
Friend us on Facebook to keep up with what's empowering the world. Voice America Empowerment.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at djwlifecoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, everyone. This is Deborah again. Welcome back to our show with my guest, Sandy Ausman. In the previous segment, we introduced the idea of personal emotional trainers and relationships as the doctoral program of personal growth. We talked a bit about channeling and got a much more common sense understanding of it. In this second segment, Sandy and I will share some amazing stories from our real life experiences with animal communication and the personal emotional trainer role of our animal companions playing in our lives.
Okay, Deborah, so we said to the listeners, you know, why were there horses everywhere? What was going on? One of the things I did, because I had just dabbled in, you know, the animal readings, practicing with people's dogs and things, so I found an animal communicator and trainer. She actually trains people to have their own businesses working with horses and people in therapy. And she was up in Longmont, and she had a weekend seminar, animal communication with horses. And I said, okay, I need to go do this. And I went up. There were only five people in the seminar, and there were five horses in stalls. And she, what did she do? She gave us a clipboard with a pad of paper. She gave us a pen, and she said, go and just go in front of each of the stalls and just jot down what you get. You know, don't stress or anything. Just jot down what you get. So I went over and I jotted down, and these horses started telling me, you know, why they were here, the role they were playing, you know, the specific, you know, if they were here to, for the compassion part of it, or, I mean, I just wrote it all down, and we came back and she had everybody read, and she looked at me and she said, you have given me information on my horses that even I didn't know. And I just went right then, oh my gosh, this is real. I can do this. And, because, you know, you're always going, is this really real? Is this really happening? And at the end, she honored me so much by saying, may I have a copy of your notes? And you have got to promise me that you will continue this work. You have got to promise me that you will be a voice for the animals. So I'm still wondering, what am I, you know, I know I'm going to be a voice for them. I know I'm going to communicate with them. But the drive to just be with them, not just read them, but to be with them, was so huge. And my dear friend and I went up to a place where a horse was. And this horse was in a paddock, and there was not a stitch of hay in sight. There was no water in the bin. And the owner of this ranch, the horse came up and was kind of mouthing at her. Well, he was hungry. He was mouthing at her. And she took her hand and put it in a fist and hit this horse in the head as hard as she could. And I knew right then, I have to get this horse out of here. Mm-hmm. Having no intention, right, of owning a horse, buying a horse, anything. And the actual owner wasn't paying the board, so the owner of the ranch wasn't feeding the horse. Mm. So I did, you know, what would it take to get this horse out of here? I did it, got him out of there, and ended up with the love of my life, Moonshadow, and he's the most magnificent being. And promised him then, I will love you forever. I will always take care of you, and you will never be hungry again. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, talk about you know, a gift and spirit, the way it brings it, you've got to be around all this horse energy. We're going to just, you know, trample it on you so that you end up going and getting and saving this horse. I mean, the way things happen are so beautiful.
Well, it set you up in the sense that all of that prepared you so that when you experienced what you experienced with Moonshadow, you couldn't not rescue him. You couldn't not see him as the life companion he was going to be for you and the life companion you're going to be for him. The universe needed to get you tuned to the frequency so you'd be ready.
Absolutely. That's such a good point because I didn't know before what magnificent beings they are. I mean, horses are healers in their own right. I learned that through, you know, some of the readings that I was doing before I ever met the horse that I needed to save and have as my own.
And well, and then the other thing that I love about it is that it really wasn't very logical. I mean, you know, anyone who's, there's a joke among those who, you know, joke about horses is that, you know, horse is a hole in the ground into which you pour money. You know, it goes in one end and comes out the other. And, you know, the reality is that if you had let your left brain, your logic, totally rule your decision, you might have felt bad about the horse, the fact that the horse was unhappy and being abused, but you wouldn't have, you know, you might have felt bad about it for a while and then forgotten about it. You wouldn't have acted.
Absolutely. And you know what, Deborah, when I said, what would it take? And she named a figure. I said, done. So fast, so powerful. That was not my done. Okay. that was not for me.
I'm talking about channeling.
I went home that night and went,
oh crap. Yeah. Right. You know? Oh no. Yeah, what was I thinking?
So anyway, it's been the most wonderful, wonderful, that is the best thing that ever happened.
And it worked out, didn't it? You managed to get the money. See, that's the thing is that we have those experiences. We have those, oh my goodness, what was I doing? And then when we start to get afraid, we start to second guess ourselves, if we can stop and understand the root of the fear and relax into it and see what it would take to transform it to love and then trust that the universe isn't here to screw us over. So if you felt called to do this, yes, there's always a possibility you misunderstood your instructions, but that's why baby steps are so useful. And then we wait for a little more feedback from the universe that we're going in the right direction. But, you know, just being with your decision, it all started to unfold so that you were perfectly able to manifest this thing that if you'd stopped and thought about it logically, you probably would have gone screaming into the night because you would have thought there's no way you could do it.
Exactly. And I trust. I don't even give it a thought. I trust totally. Spirit brought me here. Spirit will take care of both of us. I mean, I'm not worried about that at all. And when I was up at, I went to a horse park to tour it and to volunteer and was walking through. And the people said this horse, you know, came in and they said his name and the name didn't, not only did not fit the horse, but it just was not a very nice name. And they said, we've always wanted to change that, you know. Well, I just walked by this horse and, I mean, there was no conversation. There was no anything. He just says, I want my name to be Sundance. And I went, okay, I'm kind of looking around like, where did that come from? And I go, and I just spoke it as fast as he said it to me. I spoke it to the people. He wants his name to be Sundance. And they all looked at each other and went, we love that name. That would be great. They had a meeting that evening with the board. They did the paperwork and they changed the horse's name that night legally so that this horse could have the name he wanted. Okay. Mm. So, I mean, that was so beautiful too. I would have never helped this horse get the name he wanted if all the horse energy hadn't come, if everything hadn't happened the way it did.
Yeah.
And then there was one other thing that happened that was so huge. And I read for this dog, and he was very, very sick. And the very first thing he said to me was, no more poking and prodding, please. And throughout the rest of the reading, he told me why he was there and how much, you know, he'd gone through like three people to get to the, you know, owner that he really was supposed to be with and everything. It was an amazing story. But basically what he was telling me is, you know, I can't do a living will. You guys you guys can sign a paper that at the end of your life, no emergency, you know, no extra tubes and things. Please don't put me on machines. Don't do any of this. Would you be my living will, please, is what he says to me. Mm-hmm. So now imagine having to give this reading to the owner. And I said, what are you doing? What are you doing with this dog? And he said, we're giving 12 shots a day of different, you know, vitamins and all these things to try to keep this dog alive. And I said, he says, no more poking and prodding, please. And he's ready to cross over. I'm his living will. Mm-hmm. I'm asking you to listen to him. And he did. He listened. And they had a beautiful ceremony in a park. And, you know, so there are such important pieces of information that come through these animals that they don't have the voice, but we can be their voice.
And I have, that story is fabulous. And I have another dear friend and animal communicator, Rebecca Blackbird, who's also Colorado-based, who I've worked with, who has an amazing story, which I don't think we have time for today. But it's amazing some of the messages that come through as animals are passing and what they share and the messages they want to send back on to their humans about how they're so much bigger than they could possibly know.
Absolutely.
And that was the one I remember, especially that Rebecca shared the last thing, you know, when she asked this dog, who she's, by the way, she's on the phone with the humans. She's never met the dog. The dog is in another place. The dog is taking her on a tour, metaphorically, of the backyard. And she's describing the backyard to the owners. And she's spot on. The dog takes her in the house and takes her to her favorite spot, which is to sleep in front of the dishwasher, evidently. Rebecca says it out loud. And the people said, oh, my God, she does. She sleeps in front of the dishwasher the moment we turn it on. And the last thing this dog said is, I want them to know they're so much bigger. They're so much more magnificent, my humans, than they could possibly know. Please help them know that.
Mm.
Help them step into their greatness. Help them live it in every moment.
Mm. Oh, my gosh. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful.
So I know that one of the things that it seems really relevant to talk about is this idea of my coaching cats. And I'll take just a few minutes.
We've wanted to hear about them. She has the most beautiful cats.
And I have three cats, Sida Lee, Mortimer, and Maisie. Sid and Mortimer are actually litter mates that I adopted when they were 9 years old. And they have their own backstory, which Rebecca helped me get from them. And Maisie, who is, the boys are now 12, Maisie is 4. She came to me separately later. But basically, the reason I call them the coaching cats is that I'm a life coach, as you know. And that 95% of life coaching is done over the phone, and I have a place where I do it, and I'm totally focused, and I'm sitting on this chaise. And what I noticed over time is that a different one of the three, and they have very different energies. You guys are going to hear me in coming weeks talk about this idea of your personal board of directors. Well, my three cats I ended up with ended up being the sage, the guardian, and the muse, which are the three identities in your personal board of directors. They have very different personalities.
Oh.
One's the big thinker. One is the Excel spreadsheet, left brain whiz, guardian, order, structure guy. That's Mortimer. Sid's the big Sid's the one's writing the book, by the way. Sid says he got the book. He channeled it to me. He was the intermediary, and I just do the typing. And then Maisie, who is my party animal. Maisie just wants to have fun. And so the interesting thing is that over time, what I found when I got ready to coach, and most of these people, my cats had never met in person. They only had them energetically through me, you know, through this coaching.
Mm-hmm.
They would know the nature of what the client's primary focus would be for a session. My clients don't give me details about what they're going to talk about before a session. They may send me a note that tells me some broad outlines. But the cats would know because which cat showed up on my chaise lying next to my legs would be an indicator of where we'd be working. And oh, by the way, if a client came to me and, for example, the first thing they needed to do was get a big insight in their life about something that they were resisting, then Sid would show up. You know, he'd be there, big insight guy. He often lays on the therapeutic notes. You know, he thinks if I was good as a coach, I wouldn't need any notes. I could just remember it all. But he lies there on the notebook. Then once they got the idea and they wanted to come up with a plan to implement it, Sid would get down. Mortimer would get up on the chaise and lie down next to my label. More to see, you know, Excel spreadsheet, organization, structure, make a plan kind of guy. And then if the client's life, if instead it was about being more loving and self-nurturing, more gentle with themselves, more playful, getting more rest, having more fun, Maisie would show up. And sometimes when it involves combinations, they'll show up in combination. And particularly Sid and Maisie, Sid's not thrilled with Maisie's existence. So the idea is to fly side by side with absolutely no difficulty
coaching
a client. But any other time, you know, they'll be, you know, howling and scratching and carrying on. It's truly extraordinary. And one of the other really funny things about the whole cat energy thing, because cats are very energetic beings. Animals are very energetic beings. They don't use language. They use energy. They use energy directly. One of the really amazing things is Sid has a phobia that if people not come to the front door, they're probably cat groomers because his cat groomers are home. So if you ring the doorbell or knock on the door, Sid goes and hides under the bed just in case. Lo and behold, I had two clients who had never been here physically before. They live about an hour away, and they came here to visit and to actually stay the first time. They rang the doorbell. Sid didn't go anywhere. He knew who it was. He knew she was a client. Heck, he coaches her every week. He knew he didn't have to hide. She's not a groomer. He doesn't know their energy. And then it happened again a few weeks later with another client. So amazing. Truly amazing. And right now we're going to take another short break and we'll be back in 2 minutes with more.
Follow the Voice America Talk Radio Network on Twitter. We're at Voice America TRN. You'll get the latest fix on what's happening with our shows, this week's featured guests, and general happenings that you should know about at the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Now you don't have to miss anything when you're away from your home or office. Just go to twitter.com/Voice America TRN or follow along with us at Voice America TRN, the Voice America Talk Radio Network. We're on the cutting edge of social media. Can you keep up?
Hi, I'm Ed Krell, CEO of Destination Maternity. We proudly support the March of Dimes work in reducing premature births. Almost 500,000 babies are born too soon in the United States. We're helping the March of Dimes fund cutting-edge research and life-saving programs to help moms in our communities have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Join us during Prematurity Awareness Month in working together for stronger, healthier babies. Visit marchofdimes.com.
Inspired by today's show? Visit Deborah at djwlifecoach.com and click on the Current Offers tab to access her proven life coaching programs and tools. Everything from her signature workbooks and videos to entertaining and inspiring blogs and newsletters. You'll even have the opportunity to sign up for a 60-minute complimentary coaching session. If someone offered you a precious gift for an hour of your time, would you be interested? That's what Deborah offers in a comp session. It isn't a brief demo or sample. It's a full 45-minute coaching session focused on your current real-life challenges, plus 15 minutes to discuss any questions you may have about her approach. Those who've experienced Deborah's comp sessions will tell you that when you show up fully committed to your own growth and open to the possibilities for transformation, big breakthroughs happen. What have you got to lose other than your fears and limiting beliefs? Visit the Current Offers tab on djwlifecoach.com. Choose your energy and change your life.
Success starts here. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com. It's your world.
You are listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life with Deborah Jane Wells. If you have a question or comment for the program today, please call us toll-free at 888-346-9141. That's 888-346-9141. Or you may send an email to Deborah at djwlifecoach.com. Now, back to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life.
Hi, everyone. It's Deborah again. Welcome back to our show with my guest, Sandy Ausman. In the first two segments, Sandy and I talked about personal emotional trainers or pets, especially our animal companions. We talked about the lessons that they teach us, the wisdom that they have, and the way in which they communicate with us. In this final segment of the show, we're going to explore compassion, which is the third attribute of love from the Discovery Framework in my upcoming book being released by Hay House Balboa Press in spring 2013.
Deborah, I'd like to begin by understanding the distinction you draw between sympathy and compassion. Can you talk to us about that?
Sympathy is loaded with judging. Sympathy is loaded with fear underneath it. Sympathy is usually the idea that you feel sorry for someone, which means that you're judging what they're going through as a, quote, bad thing, that it doesn't have a useful purpose. Mm. And that's a very different experience than feeling empathy or feeling compassion for someone, because compassion is feeling with the other. No agenda, no force, no fixing.
Oh.
So it's that loving, respectful, fully present, non-directive, non-judging companion who provides a sacred space in which the pained one, the pained person, can be present and be completely authentic. And in my experience, companions like that are rare.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we tend to do when we're fueled by fear is we try to get the other person to deny whatever they're feeling. So what we're saying to them is, you know, it's not really real. We try to get them to ignore it, which is really a way of saying it's not really that bad. Or we try to get them focused on something else, which is a way of saying, you know, it's not really worth it. Or possibly most disrespectful of all, we try to fix it for them, which is a way of saying, it's so bad, it needs to stop right now, and you're so inept, I'm going to have to do it for you.
Oh my gosh.
So you can feel how respect flows right on into compassion as a way you demonstrate it, as we talk about those love, respect, curiosity, compassion, gratitude, how they just flow together. And one of the greatest examples for me is in my cat Mortimer, that he was one of the first places, the first beings in which I experienced that kind of presence. So Mort had not lived with me very long. And remember, in board of directors, personal board of directors term, Mort is the guardian. So he is all about safety, my safety, order,
okay,
structure. So what I found was that if I cried, and I didn't even have to make noise. First of all, Mort could be, I have a 4,200 square foot home. Mort could be at the other end of the home. If I started to feel strong emotion that where I would get filled up or cry, Mort wouldn't have to hear me. He would come running. And Mort is, he is an incredible being and incredibly compassionate, but he's not a lap cat. You know, some animals, dogs, cats, they climb up in your lap. They want to be in your lap all the time. Maisie, that's Maisie. Not Mort. Mort doesn't sit in people's laps. He'll sit with you, by you, but he doesn't, you know, he's not, you're not going to contain him. He would get up on me, sit in my lap, look me directly in the eye in this very regal upright. He's a very regal bearing, upright position with his tail curled in front. And he would just look in my eyes, gaze in my eyes. And so I would cry. He would. There was no force. There was no pressure. There was no, you know, poking me or tapping me or trying to get me to stop. He would just be fully present with me in a way that was even more than what he normally did. And then when the crying stopped, he would, you know, he would sort of blink, usually look at me, sort of say, okay, we're done that now. And then he would move on and go about his business. That's what we're talking about. Being there.
So just, I am here with you.
And knowing that in every moment, we are all doing the best we can with the love and light we're able, we have infinite love and light inside us, an endless supply from our source. But what happens is we encounter fear and we attach ourselves to it. And that fear layers itself down like layer upon layer of deposit so that it becomes hard to break through and access that love and light. So whatever we're thinking, saying, doing, we are doing, I am doing the best I can. You are doing the best you can in that moment with the love and light to which we've given ourselves access. Now, everything's an opportunity. So to the extent I go underneath it, get curious about what the fears are, you know, look at my situation and use it as an opportunity for growth, but not self-loathing and beating and judging and rehashing. That doesn't move you forward. That keeps you stuck. It keeps you that old energy and keeps you stuck.
Well, and on a larger scale, when they say like, okay, say the tsunami happened and, you know, hundreds or thousands of people are killed and people are homeless and all those kinds of things, feeling compassion then, of course, I mean, you know, you don't want to be, you know, hard-hearted and everything, but also it's if you let yourself go down to that vibration and you are in that, you know, sadness and in that pain and in that fear with them, then you cannot be any help at all. You can't even bring light.
Yeah. And that's what happens. That's that line you cross when now it really isn't about the other person anymore. It's now become about you because it's your own fears. What you've started to do is probably go into your head a bit and think about, oh my God, how would I feel if I experienced that? And you start to feel it, which now means you can't be fully present with the other.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're in the midst of a disaster and you're actually trying to help somebody, it's not going to do you any good. You know, you're not going to tap into your greatest, you know, wisdom and brilliance to figure out what we can do in this situation. When you go there, the other thing is everyone has compassion pretty much for the person they perceive as the victim in a situation. Mm-hmm. One of the most profound experiences I had in coach training school with IPEC, the Institute for Professional Excellence in Coaching, was that during our first weekend of live classes, there were live classes and teleclasses and all kinds of webinars and all kinds of things. We were working with this concept and we were looking at different situations and then we were asked to think about 9/11. Well, honey, I was in New York on 9/11. I spent the night looking for thousands of our people.
Oh my
God. 9/11 hit me very, my family was in Washington DC. My husband and child were in Washington DC where the other second plane went down. And my mother, father, brother, extended family, they lived an hour from where the plane went down in Pennsylvania. So 9/11's, it's a meaningful event for me, very meaningful. And they said, what about compassion for the people who flew the planes into the tower? And oh my gosh, you should have heard the uproar in the room. You know, people had a hard time going there.
Mm-hmm.
What about, you know, many of you know, we had a mass shooting in a theater in Aurora, Colorado this summer, putting Aurora on the map. And I remember when I was processing that, thinking about the young man who did it and that he was at such a place in his life where he saw this as the only answer. How unfortunate. How tragic, how tortured he must have been, how, you know, pick your adjectives.
Absolutely.
That the ability in every situation to channel that kind of compassion, because then come back to yourself. You know, I'm the fall in love with yourself lady. I'm the one who says, discover the love of your life, you. When you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place. And people think that sounds incredibly selfish. But the reality is, people who learn how to live that way in every moment, people who eat and sleep and drink and breathe that mindset, they don't show up as self-absorbed. They show up with joy and peace, and it's contagious. And they have a spring in their step and a zest for living that everybody else looks at and says, I want what they're having.
Absolutely.
They help raise the energetic frequency of every situation they encounter. This is not a destructive, dysfunctional selfishness, that thing that we were so warned against. And by the way, until you master it in your own life for you, until you can look at every choice you've ever made and honestly say from your heart, travel for that 18 inches from your head to your heart, the longest journey you're ever going to take in your life, and say, I did the best I could do. Yep. Yes, I know now. I know more. I have access to more. I might choose differently now. But in that moment, I did the best I could do, and I have nothing but love and respect and compassion for where I was and gratitude for the fact that I've journeyed further, and I now would have other options.
And for the fact, Deborah, that the people who are following what you're teaching and really falling in love with themselves and raising their vibration and their light is raising the vibration and light of the entire planet as well. One by one, we can do that.
Yeah, emotions, all kinds of research has been done. Emotions are contagious.
Mm-hmm.
Are contagious. You don't even have to talk about them. Energy is contagious. And so how I choose to show up in every moment not only affects my own energy, but it affects the energy of everyone around me.
And absolutely.
In a couple weeks, we're going to have Luke Iorio from IPEC, president and CEO, on, and he's going to talk about energy leadership and their company.
Mm.
And it's just, it's an amazing, amazing construct. The other thing I just want to tuck in here in the final minutes of today's show is this whole idea of crying. I was amazed when I started coaching. I always joke and say there is crying in coaching. There may not be crying in baseball, according to Tom Hanks, but there is crying in coaching. And it doesn't take long, and it doesn't matter what your age is, what your gender is, it's going to happen. Because if we're going to go anywhere and touch anything deep, it's bound to happen. And here's the reason. It's not a sign of weakness. I was amazed at how many people tried not to cry. And we aren't talking about just men. I had female clients who thought, you know, it was the greatest crime on earth to cry. They thought it was weakness. They thought it was, you know, self-absorption. And here's the message I have. Tears. Those of you who have ever had a therapeutic massage, the first thing the therapist tells you when you finish your massage is make sure you drink a lot of water. The deep work we just did released a lot of toxins into your system. We need to flush them out. Well, it's the same way with strong emotion. When you're doing deep emotional work, deep heart and soul work, you release a lot of old toxins, a lot of old sludge. And the best way to finish flowing them right on through the system is to let yourself cry. It's one of the greatest gifts we've been given as a way to clear that strong emotion, to toxins from our system, and to let ourselves now feel the real, the full release from it, and be able to come to a more centered place where we now can begin to become curious about what we encountered and what we can do with it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Deborah.
That filled up feeling that comes, it is one of the greatest indicators that you are in the neighborhood of a big life lesson. And so letting yourself just relax into it and know that that is just a stage to pass through to get to the insight.
And that all is well in your world.
All is indeed well in your world. And with that, we are at the end of another show. This is Deborah Jane Wells signing off for now. Tune in again next week when I will sneak preview additional content from my book and discuss gratitude, the fourth and final attribute of love from my discovery framework. Many thanks again to my guest today, Sandy Ausman, and to my incredible Voice America production team, including my dear friend and engineer, Roland Maldonado, executive producer, Randall Libero, and everyone else at Voice America who keeps me on track and makes this show possible. When you visit my voiceamerica.com host page, you'll find more information about upcoming episodes and the nature of life coaching, with opportunities to subscribe to my blog, social media feeds, and special offers to guide you on your journey to wholeness. You can even listen to recordings of past episodes. If you'd like to learn more about the transformative power of life coaching and the 60-minute complimentary coaching sessions I offer, listen to the recording of my very first episode on January 9th, 2013, starting at the 37-minute mark for an insightful overview. Remember, when you fall in love with yourself, everything else falls into place, personally and professionally. You are loved and loving, blessed and a blessing. Namaste.
Thanks again for listening to Choose Your Energy, Change Your Life. Please rejoin your host, Deborah Jane Wells, again next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's time to get off that hamster wheel and start fulfilling your destiny by creating a life you love.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit VoiceAmericaEmpowerments.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.